Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Did you ever want to notice what like the top five most common behavioral presentations that get referred to a board certified veterinary behaviorist? Well, I want to know, and you better buckle in because joining me is the one and only Dr. Lisa Verdasta. How are you,
Doctor? Hello. Hello.
This is really cool because I don't know many listeners or colleagues would probably know what are the most common ones. So to our listeners, Dr. Lisa Verdasta is a wonderful board certified veterinary behaviorist at the Florida Veterinary Behavior Service. I wonder why she's in Florida, because she's a graduate of the University of Florida College of Veterinary Medicine.
Go Gators.
And she has been on multiple publications or featured multiple publications on many shows. She is one of only 90 veterinary behaviorists in the world. She's also a world-class lecturer, author, or teacher who has helped hundreds of pets with emotional and behavioral issues. And we're here to chat with her today about some of the things that maybe we as practitioners get frustrated or we work collaboratively with the behaviorist on. So what are they, Lise? I'll start with number one.
Number one always has been and probably may always will be aggression, right? And that's the one too that I think that as vets, we get the most flummoxed by, because it comes in all different flavors, because there's liability for us, right? And that's kind of scary. And then if you're a new vet or a vet who's new to behavior drugs, there's also the fear of, could the drugs make the dog worse? And then the dog could bite a child and I could be sued. Like there's all of that fear. So the client's afraid, the veterinarian's afraid, the dog's afraid. It's like a hot mess, right? Yeah. So what I want people to do is think of a couple of things. Aggression is super easy. Behavior reminds me of dermatology. There's only a limited number of answers, limited number of drugs. Yes. It's not like internal medicine where you're like, oh God, kidney failure plus Addison's plus. No, it's not like that, right? So what do? You walk in the room and you try to figure out the triggers and the targets. The best way to do this in real time is to have a questionnaire form, a short one pager that is, we use JotForm for our forms. It's you can use any online form company or whatever, but they just click submit and it goes to our Dropbox and it goes to our email, just doubly so the client care representatives can pick it up and put it in the file. So then the technician is going to get that information. And so if that's filled out, now you're not answering a question about a bite with your hand on the doorknob, which is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. You want to know going in, there's been aggression. So then you're going to walk in and you're going to always do, with every behavior problem, you're going to do your complete physical workup, period. End of story, right? I don't care if the lady says that her dog is spiteful and hates her partner. It doesn't matter. That dog has got to be worked up. So based on my personal experience, about 50% of my patients in referral practice have undiagnosed either orthopedic pain or systemic disease. If we look to the literature, it is about 23% systemic disease, up to 82% orthopedic disease. The amount of orthopedic disease I see is really extraordinary. It's pretty extraordinary. So anyway, you're going to work that patient up physically. That alone buys you time, right? You got to do that. You got to draw the blood. Maybe you can't even do a physical on this dog. It's going to have to come back with sedation. All right. Then triggers. Who is your dog aggressive toward? My kid, my girlfriend, my mom. Okay. Until we can get this worked out and we can get, you know, the complete health workup done, we've got to separate your dog from everybody your dog's aggressive toward. We're basically going to do what your orthopedist would do. If your elbow hurt, she would say to you, you can't play tennis anymore. Your dog's aggressive towards these people. Your dog can't meet these people. A large percentage of the clients will then go, my dog barks, cries, and whines when he's away from me. And then you say, and actually, I'd rather you just say it. Don't even wait for them to say it. Just say, if your dog's upset when your dog is confined away from you, no problem. I have some really good medication that I can give you that can help with that. Okay. So the first appointment is assessment of physical wellness. It's triggers. It is targets. It's avoidance. It's first line meds. When they come back for the recheck, you have had a ton of time, right? Because they've been avoiding all the things that make the dog aggressive, you have a ton of time to have looked in a textbook, called your local vet behaviorist, decided if you're going to refer, like you've got all that stuff, right, in your head, and you've bought yourself some good time.
Yeah, well said. Okay, so aggression number one, what do we have for number two?
Number two, noise phobia. But here's the thing. Noise phobia is the great pretender. It looks like anything. Dog urinating.
Like Addison's.
It's just like Addison's. You know, Addison's is my favorite. Well, hypothyroidism is my favorite endocrine disease. But I'm going to put Addison's second. I love Addison's. I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I digress. Look, noise phobia can look like anything because when a dog becomes afraid of something outside, like big trucks or construction, he then often will refuse to walk outside. But what the client sees is the dog urinating in the house. So the client brings you a dog who's urinating in the house. So your mind goes to UTI, kidney, separation anxiety. Is it, or is it noise phobia? So you're going to want to rule that out. And noise phobia also looks like dog afraid to walk outside. Dog only walks to the end of the driveway. Dog afraid to walk outside at night. Noise phobia can look like anything. Okay. Those dogs need drugs like now because they can't function as animals or as pets. Three, and no particular order, right? Separation anxiety, separation distress, separation fear. There's a whole group now. We definitely see those dogs. Those dogs need intervention right now. That's a hit by car bleeding out in the back. You've got to do something. You cannot send those dogs home with only an antidepressant because unless you have pet parents who stay home all the time. So what happens is the pet parent cannot leave the dog. And I want you to think of behavioral diseases like orthopedic diseases, how you have to beat the ramp up of the pain, right?
Yep.
Behavioral diseases are the same. So if this dog is ramping up 2 hours prior to when the pet parent leaves, you've got to have meds on board 2 hours prior and working on board and working 2 hours prior. So you really need to treat those like emergencies, really, like emergencies. So then beyond that, after that, we certainly see dogs with pica and cats with pica. Pica is one of those things that we really push hard to have a physical workup done. I mean, we push very, very hard. And I almost, at least in dogs, I almost always do a nutrition consult with a boarded nutritionist because that has made all the difference. We'll do a GI panel. We'll do a blood workup, obviously CBC chem, free T4, UA, but we always do a fasting GI panel. And then from there, I'll often do a nutrition consult because yes, pica can be compulsive. It's true, right? But at the end of the day, there's so many body systems that feed into the drive to eat and what an animal eats that I want to pay attention to everything. And then finally, you know, we have self-mutilation behaviors. So acrylic dermatitis, I was lecturing in Jacksonville to a bunch of a really cool vets, and we were talking about myth busting. And so I brought up a picture of a dog who had acrylic granulomas on both front legs. And so I said, you know, me, I'm kind of frank. I'm like, do not send this to me. My fingers in the air. Do not send me this case. I'm like, you better work this case up, right? Work it up. You got to x-ray it. You got to biopsy it and do everything else the dermoid specialists tell you to do before that case comes to me. That doesn't mean I don't put it on an anti-anxiety drug to help it feel better, but I'm going to work it up, right? So someone in the audience goes, come on. I treat a lot of those with Prozac. I love it when they heckle me, right? I feel like Jerry Seinfeld. I'm like Chris Rock up there getting heckled, major comedian. I'm like, look, I understand that you treated these dogs, you know, X number of dogs with Prozac and the dogs got better, but here's what you got to understand. Because an animal responds to an antidepressant does not mean that it has an emotional disorder driving the disease. And this may be an inappropriate analogy. So, you know, I like to drink vodka and gin, not together, but I do like to drink separate. So just because I have a martini and I am different after I have it, it doesn't mean I have a problem that is responsive only to martinis.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So yes. Alcohol is going to work on you, whether you got a problem or not. So that's how head drugs, psychotropic drugs, antidepressants work. They're going to work whether or not you have a problem responsive to them. They're going to affect a change. Sure. And what I also told this veterinarian is that at that point I had been boarded for, I don't know, 15 years. I'm not sure. And what I said was, if it occurred, I would have seen it. I have never since 2003 seen, so I started my residency 2003. I have never seen an acral lick granuloma that was only behavioral. Right. In all of these years, 20 years, don't you think I would have seen it, right? I've seen some that are partial behavior, partial atopy, right? Okay. Sure. Partial behavior, partial deep pyoderma. So those are kind of the top five that we see and just like some tips about
them. Still laughing over everything.
You know, I like my vodka, but only potato vodka. Do not be serving up any of that wheat vodka. Okay. So
what's a pass on the vodka? Which ones are like, no, I don't like this kind.
Well, my first choice is always Chopin, which is potato vodka. Okay. Yeah. And I will almost always pass on Tito's. And if they even start with Well, they don't even need to get the brand out. I'm not drinking Well brand. That's not happening. I always say to myself, you know what? I'm over 21. I do not have to drink something I do not want to drink. You know, when you're young and you drink anything, no.
Right, right. Sure. Yeah. Of course. I love this. So out of these five, so we talked about aggression, noise phobia, separation anxiety, pica, self-mutilation behavior. I'm curious to get your opinion from post-COVID world or whatever we're in right now. Which one is right at the top, would you say?
Noise. 100%. Really? Yeah. So these dogs are pretty isolated, and I'm old enough to remember the story of Rip Van Winkle. Do you remember that story?
Yes, yeah.
If our listeners are like millennials or Zs, they're like, this lady's old, but this guy was asleep for 100 years. Right. So he wakes up and he's like, holy cow, what world am I in? That's how these dogs act. They're in the home. They see nothing. The streets were even quiet, like in my neighborhood, even just trucks and things that you would just normally hear, construction. It wasn't around, at least where I live, in COVID. And so these dogs emerged out of quarantine and wow, they hadn't heard these things and they were way past the socialization period. And that global fear leads to, think of that as the sun and all the planets orbit around it. That global fear then has fear aggression, separation distress or anxiety, confinement distress, noise, that fear just fuels all of it, right? All of it.
Wow. Unbelievable. Gee, I wonder, I guess has it gotten a little bit better now since we have like the post-COVID puppies or whatever, would you say? Or is it still?
Yeah, the puppies I'm seeing now are more like what I saw before COVID. What we're seeing now is a lot of two-year-old-ish dogs who are having real problems. Wow. And so now people, it's really sad because once the dog is two or three, man, it's a lot harder than if I had just seen the dog at 4 months. It's a lot harder. And their families are really suffering. Dogs too.
Everybody hurts. Everybody hurts in that household.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. Well, this has been wonderful as always, Dr. Radasa. So tell our listeners where we can learn more about your clinic and anywhere on social media.
Yeah. So you can find me on social media at Dr. Lisa Radasta. You can find me online at drlisaradasta.com. And all of my vet resources are on FL Vet Behavior Service. No, what is my thing? FLVetBehavior.com. I don't even know my own website.
That's okay. But before we go, I want to play something with you called Would You Rather? So you can only have one option. Okay. One option for the rest of your life. It depends on whatever the situation is. Okay. Are you ready? So, all right. So Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, would you rather?
I'm going to go with Mickey D's.
Okay. Yeah. They're really good Happy Meals too. I love them. Okay. Would you rather have a paper cut in the webbing of your hands or a paper cut on your eyelid?
Oh, hands. How am I going to put my eyeshadow on? That's not going to work.
Okay. Would you rather drink coffee every day or have chocolate every day?
Coffee.
Coffee. get you through.
Okay. Three shots of espresso every morning.
Okay. Vodka or margarita?
Vodka. You know how many times I got, let's just say I drank a lot of tequila when I was young under circumstances that ended poorly for me. Okay.
Poor life choices. Yes.
Very poor. Yes.
Okay. Would you rather live on a beach or live in the Arctic?
Arctic.
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah. I grew up on the beach. I grew up in Daytona Beach, but there's something fascinating about ice and snow and mountains and piles of ice and snow. It's just, God, it's peaceful. Oh right? Gosh.
Yeah. You really are my Elsa. You really are. It really is. I love that. Okay. Wait, let me ask you one more. Okay. Would you, let's see. Oh, would you rather hang out with Carrie Bradshaw from, you know who that is,
yeah,
right? Okay. From Sex and the City, or Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper. And I want to do shots with him because they kept him from doing shots this year. They kept the Andy and Andy show, you know, clean. It was dry this year. And he just looks hysterical. And he's fascinating too, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. Well, I mean, his whole storyline, everything he's been through with his family line and everything, really, really incredible. Okay, I want to ask you the last question. Would you rather have pink eyes or purple eyebrows?
Purple eyebrows for sure.
Yeah, I'll be like popping, you know?
I know, totally.
Well, thank you so much for playing and for being on the podcast, Dr. Dasta.
Thank you for having me and always putting behavior front and center. I appreciate it.
You know it. Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hey, while you're there, go ahead and rate this. It's got to be worth somebody. I think I smell a Grammy. Do they give out Grammys on podcast? I don't know, but it's worth it. Take care, everybody. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.